On finance, the development was this week that we established the Parliament, NCP established the Select Committee on Appropriation, and then also elected Honorable Chani as the first chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriation in the history of the NCP. That committee is now also on its own, but it shares the same members as our committee. Honorable Chani will join us. He's at the Audit Committee meeting, and he informed me that he will be joining us between 2:15 and 10:00. Just want to put my cell phone off. I also welcome to Honorable Mela, Deputy Chairperson of the NCOP and a new member to our committee. Then Honorable Lees is now an alternate to this committee. Honorable Mrs. M.C. Tikhala, if I pronounce it correct, she's an alternate, as well as Honorable Boroto. So that is the new members in terms of alternates to this committee. In their absence, also welcome to them. Apologies. I received an apology from Honorable Gunda. He's in Upington. I told him Friday is a working day. And I received an apology from Honorable Masoshiwe. He's attending a program cluster meeting. And when finished, will join us after that meeting. That's it. Two apologies. Can we... Yes? Oh yeah, Honorable Harris is out of the country. He's in Egypt, in Cairo. Honorable Lees is supposed to be his alternate. But that apology was received during the week. Honorable members, can we accept these apologies?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. Minutes of previous meetings, Honorable members, I request that we deal with the minutes of previous meetings in the next meeting. That is, as I was taught at the University of the Free State in business management and public management, meeting procedures will be done, and I think it makes it easier, because if there's any issues that we must deal with, you deal with that in the next meeting. So I want to put that to the committee. How does the committee feel on that?
Let me just get clarification, Chairperson. What is the reason for us dealing with the minutes in the next meeting? If we can just clarify that, then...
I think it's normal meeting procedure that you, in Afrikaans, say, bekrachtig jy die notule, dan word hy geteken, dan sy wettig. Daar's 'n handtekening op en 'n datum. Dit is nie getik nie, die handtekening is in jou handskrif. Ek gaan maar net na die regsproses toe. So dat is the only clarity I can give. I haven't got a lawyer here today. There's a person doing his LLB. But if you say we can do it at the end of the session, it's up to you. I'm just a chairperson of the committee. I'm not a committee.
I didn't hear you anything.
Yes.
You didn't interpret it.
Pardon?
I didn't hear the reason, bro.
No, the reason is it's normal meeting procedure that when we have a meeting today, the next meeting we deal with the minutes of the previous meeting. So it's a procedural thing. It's not a big issue.
The
previous meeting, yes.
So we have the minutes of this.
No, it's not here. I just want to get to the feeling of the committee. Do you want to deal with 10 meetings minutes in 14 days' time?
No, not now. Okay. When we have time, yes. But why can't we deal with the minutes of the one last meeting?
That's a principle I'm putting on the table. Honorable Bloom?
No, Chairperson, that is the clarity. I think that Raden has helped me. No, you know, I'm not opposed to let... We can shift it. but the reason why are we not dealing with it? But you have explained the minute is not here. That is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is the reason. The minute is not here.
Okay.
So I agree that let's put it for the next meeting.
Very true.
Thanks, sir. I just wanted to add the reason why, if members can remember well, when we are dealing with you, for example, if we were to say we were to deal today, because our last meeting we dealt with, it was the FSC report. It was Wednesday, our meeting, which is a report, on the annual report. The previous meeting we dealt with the public works, first quarter spending hearings, which is, if we were to say, let's start with the correction of the minutes, the procedure, it means we won't be able to deal with the departments on their first quarter spending. I'm just giving an example. Because in that meeting, we struggled first to get members. If we were to say, let's start with the previous meetings, minutes, then continue with the business, it means we won't make it. The other challenge that we are having, just to remind members, is the time limit. If we were having the whole day, it won't be a problem. Because now we were instructed to start at 10. We're starting previous at 9. We're given that task now to say we need to start at 10, not at 9 any longer. Thanks.
Yeah, one point is the workload of the committee section. Secondly, with the specific meeting we had, meetings with departments, it was not one meeting and it was finished. There was a series of meetings dealing with the same issue. That's why the minutes were not as normal process at the next meeting. It's impossible to do it that way. Just that we all get clarity and that we know where we stand for the future. If I pass away today, someone must take over tomorrow. Then this is minuted. That is your point of departure. That it's on record. That's the only reason why I put it on the agenda. Anyone else on this point? Number four. Point four is consideration of the Mpumalanga Oversight Committee report. The committee secretary, Mr. Rentu, circulated to all members a copy of the draft oversight report. Now, at previous meetings, and it was two previous meetings, we requested honorable members to make inputs, written inputs on this report, especially when it comes to the recommendations with the different municipalities we interacted with. Now, only two members submitted written inputs. I want again request, because we can't prolong this indefinitely, that members please assist Mr. Rentu, especially when we come to the recommendations, because the Honourable Minister is also very interested in this report regarding Mpumalanga. We only dealt with seven municipalities. There were no time to do more. But one of the municipalities is Alekwa municipality. That's shown in the news. So it is there. I went through the report. There's a few corrections. I'm going to give this back to Mr. Rentu, that he works with. The content advisor is also supposed to be part of dealing with the report in the technical way, linguistics, etc., the layout. Mr. Mkizi is a content advisor. He was in an accident. He's on his way back. I spoke to him last night. He's recovered. He will be back in Cape Town on Monday morning in his office. And then Mr. Rentu, Mr. Mkize can sit together. I also interacted with the previous committee secretary, her name is Toko, how they did it in the past, just to get the framework. Mr. Rentu's got this copy. The terms of introduction, terms of reference, findings, and then dealing with each municipality, the issues that was raised, observations of the committee at that specific meeting. So it goes on, and then at the back there will be recommendations and a conclusion. That is the formal layout. On the members, I put this to the committee. Anyone that wants to make an input on this now? Honorable Makubule.
Thanks, Chair. Another issue is the remarks by the committees. Then when we go to the responses, you find that your bullet one is not answering to bullet one of the responses. And, you know, the mixing of those, you know, if you could, well, we'll try to get all right, what the committee's remarked, you bullet them, the responses follow the same thing. And even the number, here I'm seeing, for example, at your page 2, at your page 5, there are 17 issues raised. But you go to the responses that 21. Then you don't know which one. You know. Let us try. And also the questions or answers should be so short. Don't make them a bigger paragraph. Otherwise, you are going to confuse issues. Thanks.
Yeah. For each concern, there must be a recommendation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it must balance.
Thanks.
It must balance. I tried to do that when I corrected it last night. I went through it for a second time because I'm going to give this document to Mr. Rentu. Anyone else on this report? Honorable Monsisi?
Thank you. I'm not sure if I should add to these recommendations, because the way these recommendations the way they are made, they are too general. Zero tolerance to corruption is a recommendation. I mean, accountability to the community. It's in point form and it's not explanatory. So if the recommendations can be very, very clear in terms of what we want to achieve, because with the recommendations we are saying certain corrective measures should be taken. Prof, I went through part of it, and some of the recommendations which we wanted to make at that stage, I don't know if I can make them now or you want me to write something. But if I make them now, probably the comrades can be able to include them. I don't know.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay.
That's the idea of the exercise, that we make that each member makes his or her input on this.
Okay. We remember that there was the problem of land. Mm. They were not able to get land because some of the farmers are very reluctant to release land. And when they begin to release land, they want exorbitant prices. This is across the country. Even during our constituency period, the provincial week, we encountered the same type of problem. Now, the recommendation that we want to make in that respect is the speedy reviewer of the willing buyer, willing seller, concept of negotiations with the farmers. We are saying that particular principle, I mean, is obsolete right now. It does not work. So the government needs to step up and come up with other corrective measures. Because in this municipality, they complained about the land that they required in order to house people. People are not able to have houses because of this particular, you know. So scarcity of land in the abundance of land, I mean, it's something which the government should not accept. And then the other issue that we observed was that the relationship between the councillors and the officials. The officials don't deem themselves to be accountable to the councillors. They don't even impart information on developmental projects to the councillors. And they also, councillors don't have the powers to summon these officials to come and account and even give them reports, even about the financial status of their own municipality. Now, the recommendation that we can make, given that problem, is that capacity training for the councillors in order to for them to realize and understand their oversight responsibility vis-a-vis information available in the municipality for the purpose of delivery. That issue has to be speeded up. You can't have councillors who come and complain to us when we arrive there. It becomes an opportunity for the councillors to complain, to say, yeah, these officials, they don't give us information and so on. So the best way of doing it is just to capacitate the councillors so that they can be able to recognize their rights and be able to understand their oversight role with respect to the to their relationship with the officials. The other issue, Prof, is the relationship between the development bank and the local municipalities. Local municipalities, where they wish, they don't accommodate the development bank. The development bank comes with the necessary expertise for the municipalities to be able to plan properly and to be able to understand the technical aspect of development in their own municipality. But some of the municipalities, because that technical advice impinges on some of their interests, which they have clandestinely, they don't want to cooperate with the development bank. As a result, the development bank is rendered moribund in some of these municipalities, non-cooperation with it. So I'm not sure if the Municipality Management Act does make reference to the powers, to the, I mean, the participation of the development bank within the municipality in reinforcing it, you see. I've not checked whether it does. But in a way, we can make that type of recommendation to say the development bank should be part and parcel of the planning process of the municipality in terms of providing technical support and advice. Otherwise, some of these municipalities, they don't have the capacity to plan 20 years, you know, 30 years and so on. So you find that if they build houses everywhere, there's not going to be space for anything. No space for school, no space for whatever. So that is the technical aspect which most municipalities are lacking. Why the development bank is able to give them proper advice in terms of the projected development of the area and the layout in terms of other facilities.
We captured that.
Now the other issue, Chairperson, it was that municipality, I don't know what that municipality is called. Is it the Lekwa? No.
Or was it in Kumasi?
Was it in Kumasi? I think it was in Kumasi where 50% of the budget of the municipality is allocated to salaries. It was in Kumasi. Yeah. I think we need to make a very strong recommendation. Oh, sorry.
Just a moment. You want to leave or go?
Yeah, please.
You want?
But,
I understand.
Please be assured I'm part of the committee and I'm going to be
since our existence
the first time we've got a lady, an honorable member.
I thought maybe you're very welcome.
Of Africa. Okay. And also welcome to all of the charming guests joined us.
Yes, I'll just explain to you.
Okay, thanks. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm saying we're in a small municipality like Nkomasi, which utilizes their budget for remunerative purposes, and they explicitly say that these are salary hikes which have been negotiated at the national level. Now, they do that with impunity and also disregard of the fact that, one, they are a small municipality, and that, two, they are actually taking a chunk out of the fiscus, which they are expected to use for purposes of delivery. So I think the recommendation that we should make with respect to that is that that municipality in particular, probably it would be the province, that the provincial legislature, in particular the finance MEC, must interact with that municipality in order to correct this anomaly. I mean, the Western Cape itself, they don't even utilize 50% of their budget, and it's such a huge municipality. Gauteng, Swane, and the others. So they are so small, but the whole 50% goes to Kalani. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mancisi, for that valuable input. Anyone else? Mr. Tau?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to add on what the Honorable Member said, especially with the issue of land. Another thing that changed was the farmers who do not allow municipalities access to provide basic services like water and electricity. Now, if you look at page 21 of the research document, which is my product, what I did is to look at issues and go and research for any solution. So the recommendation I'm making there is to say, first, the committee needs to liaise with other institutions. Like, we have the Human Rights Commission. That is their duty to make sure that where people's basic rights are violated, they come in. So the committee can recommend or pass a motion to say, let the Human Rights Commission take the matter up. Somewhere the chair indicated that Agri South Africa and other farmers unions need to be brought on board. That is what I want to add on what the Honorable Member was saying, to say, apart from speeding up willing buyer, willing seller, this issue of making land access also need a special attention. And then on the issue of salary, one municipality indicated that they negotiated with SALGA to say, while the agreement on salaries is this, because of their own unique conditions, they need to be exempted. And SALGA understood and they were given that exemption. Maybe that can be another recommendation to by the committee to say, where municipalities cannot afford, they need to be given an exemption, of course, subject to negotiations with the union. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must confess, I've not read this report, but after listening to what Mr. Mutsitsi is saying about the recommendations, he is saying that the recommendations is very vague. You know, according to me, the role of Parliament is to give guidance and clear direction to all the departments, even to the minister. And I agree with him. We must be very straightforward. When it comes to recommendations, we must say that we as this committee feel this must be done, this must be done, so that when we follow up these things and these things, because you see, Chairperson, when we are going to make recommendations that is very vague, the department or the minister will still get away with that thing. He will come, or the department will come and say, no, but you have not said I must do this. You have left it for me to decide what to do. So I agree with what Mr. Mutsisi is saying. We must be very straightforward when it comes to recommendations. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chair.
Anyone else? Mr. Yintu?
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy for this session. It's just that if we were given time also to let me leave it at that. I'm happy for all of Mwandinzi's input. It's just that a failure happened once we were with those municipalities. Because when the committee recommends, that part should have happened once we were there. It's unfortunate now that the recommendations are vague and so forth, because only now the process of making recommendations started in Parliament, not in Mpumalanga. If you look at the report, you'll find most of the time was spent on questions, because one member of the committee, when he sends his comments to me, said, you need to make, I personally need to make recommendations, which is, as a secretary, I'm not making any recommendations. It's the committee members that are recommending to municipalities and departments. It's not that portion failed, which should have happened while we were there with the municipalities. But at the later stage, I need to take forward those recommendations. It's unfortunate now I will have to email them to say these are the things that we need to do. These are the things that the Provincial Department of Corporate Governance and also the Finance Department needs to take up. Thank you.
Yeah, comrades, I think this is the first oversight trip that we had, probably. That's the first one. So we will find each other along the way. So nobody has done any error. There's no mistake here. Mm-hmm. Let's just outline the process so that all of us, we understand what is expected from each one of us. We go to Mpumalanga and we call all the stakeholders, and then the stakeholders make presentations, whether it's ESCOM, the municipality, and so on. They make their presentation. Now, for ourselves as public representatives, to clarify ourselves, we ask questions, you see. And then we tease out issues with them, you see. And we make certain observations in front of them, you see. And once the report has been drafted and we have left Mpumalanga, the report should be discussed in a meeting of the committee, where the committee will be able to make the necessary recommendations, you see. So we wouldn't expect the administrator, or I mean the committee clerk, or the office of Zanele to make recommendations on behalf of the MPs, you see. So it is the public representative themselves who, after having made certain observations and taken note of what is happening in that particular municipality or municipalities, we will be able to make recommendations as follows. You see. If, for instance, ESCOM was
not cooperative with the municipality, we will make a specific recommendation for the attention of energy minister and so on and so on, you see. So you don't make recommendations while you are discussing with people. You can only be able to tell them that we are noting this thing and we are going to take it up. You take that issue up by making the necessary recommendations, you see. Yeah, Chairperson.
Honorable Bloom, you are
not... Chairperson, to follow up, you see, I think that our approach, we are still new, as Comrade Demi said. We are still new. I think that my recommendation to the approach of when we maybe we go to an oversight visit, we as the committee must first sit and work out a strategy how we are going to tackle that specific area. And after each and every briefing of that, we come together and work out with the staff, so that the staff must not feel that they are also, you know, I know civil servants, they will respect MPs more than the staff. Now, if the staff come and say, no, 1, 2, 3, they will say that, but who are you? You are on the same level as us. But the staff can also help us when we are in closed sessions as MPs to say, no, this and this and this. That is my proposal, that we must first meet, have an approach to that area. After that briefing and what, sit down and with the staff. Even before the meeting, the staff can also help us in ways and approaches.
That's a valuable input for the next oversight before we leave the premises of Parliament going on oversight, that we meet and work out our strategy. Honorable Chani.
Just on the point that is being raised in terms of the process itself, I'm not too sure, but I would request, I don't know if the Secretary also gets the aid of this recording machine during all these hearings. If he's not getting that aid, then I think it would be important that he has that as well. Because let's take an example of this trip that he went. Slightly deviating from the view of Honorable Mutis. As we are asking questions, there were many instances where I would argue that we took decisions and make recommendations. And my understanding was that such recommendations would be captured and then later we'll just refine them and be elaborative so that they are clear. For an example, there were instances where, as a chair, you instructed both electricity and water affairs and whoever to meet immediately after that meeting and solve the problem. In one municipality, they even reported after lunch that we met and then this is how we have resolved. You see. Others were to meet after we had left, particularly in Nelspruit, because that's where we left in a rush. But we left them there having to meet. So those forms part and parcel of the decisions and the... Others, we made recommendations like... I'll just cite some of these as examples. In the municipality that was under Section 139, we made an observation that the administrator is working there, leaving the councillors out. Yet the councillors are the one to be running the municipality after he has left, after the 6 months. And then one of the concrete recommendations that we made was that he must work with the councillors, and we'll also raise that issue with the minister that should be observed. It makes no sense that they work, they come in to assist the councillors, yet they don't want to work with them. They put them out and then work alone. After 6 months, they just give a report and I hope that they will do things right. So those, I'm just picking up on some of the recommendations that we have taken and decisions that we have taken. We should reflect in the report. But maybe that's what I'm saying, the Secretary should also use the aid of this recording machine so that as he compiles the minutes and everything, he is able to also get the details from those recording things.
Yes.
Anyone else? Honorable Makubule?
Thanks. And I know that you see the secretary has a lot of work, but this report should be compiled while the information was still fresh, you know. If we come back, after two, three days there, they must sit down and get everything so that they email those things to us so that we give the inputs while they, because we're having a lot to do also. Yeah, thanks.
Honorable Bloom, you are alerted.
No, Chairperson, is a question. Maybe the committee secretary can help us. Are you not getting these recording devices when you are going out?
We've got limited resources on that issue. So it depends if we do find one.
From the legislature where I come from, and I was there for 10 years, when we did oversight for public hearings, everything was recorded.
Yes.
So if there's a resource problem here, on our next oversight visit, that we interact then with the legislature and see how can they assist, or the specific municipality, most of them do have recording machines or facilities. In my province, I know for a fact Upington have it, Sianda Municipality, as well as Solplaiki in Kimberley. They've got that equipment. So it will be then available when we go to the Northern Cape. But thank you for that. It will make our work a bit easier. Yeah. Honourable members, I will sit with the secretary as well. Mr. Nkise will be back on Monday. And that we get to our final, of our second draft. And circulate it again to the members that we're 100% on par before we take it to the House. The point is the recommendations we're going to put in here is affecting not only Mpumalanga and seven municipalities, it's affecting the rest of the country. That's the effect of this. But the one thing is very clear. The basics must be done correctly in terms of municipal management. And that came out there. It was a serious issue. Ward committees, municipal ward committees, in terms of section 71 to 78 of the Municipal Structures Act, was not in place. They broke the law. As simple as that. Previous president said it in Kroonstad a year or what ago when he did the oversight visit there. If you're not complying to the law, you're breaking the law. Finish and close. And then we must get the act together. Honourable members, are there anyone else on this report? Yes, Honourable Bloom.
Chairperson, the Ward Committee issue. Can we also in the report identify the areas? Not a vague thing, because when we put a report before Parliament, then say in Viljoenskroon, that Ward Committee is not working. Let's name them. The word committees. That's my proposal.
Honorable Khoro, did you want to say something?
No.
Welcome at the meeting. I know you're also in the hurry, but thank you for attending. Mr. Rentu?
No.
Okay. But the two of us will sit together and we take this further. That's point four. Point five, the process of the MTBS. Mr. Rentu wants to wants to share information with us. We're doing this in a joint exercise with the other committees in the NA, the two committees, select committees in the NCOP, plus the standing committees in the NA. Mr. Rentu, over to you.
Thank you. I've got a program for the Standing Committee on Appropriations. And I've already circulated ours, because we'll be joining the Standing Committee on Finance, the 3rd and the 4th, that is next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. The difficulty will be on Wednesday, the 4th, whereby members of the same committee, that is Select Committee on Finance and Select Committee on Appropriation, will have to split, because the Standing Committee on Appropriation is meeting with the Department of COGDA, Corporate Governance, Transnational Affairs, at GH41 will be at Good Hope Chamber with the Standing Committee on Finance, but on the 3rd will be on the same venue, E249, as the our committee program that I've circulated. But now the problem is because we are sharing, the two committees are sharing membership, then it means some members will have to be at, on the 4th, GH41, and some will have to be at Good Hope Chamber. And also the report, according to the program, the report will be dealt with on the 10th, that is Tuesday, the 10th of November. Deliberation and consideration of the committee's report, that is on the MTB basis. Now, the challenge here now will be, how will you deal with the two chapters, deal with the issue of membership for the 4th, because for the 3rd will be on the same venue, E249.
Chairperson, another issue. You see, some of us and membership here is shared by three committees, even COCTA. Mr. Chan is also in COCTA, right? You understand? Yeah. But you see, it makes things more difficult because it's now two committees plus COCTA.
Honourable members, now I understand the challenge. We will be sitting with this challenge for the next 5 years. We've got honourable members that serves as alternates, and we will have to call them in to come and assist the committee in its work. We've got no choice. But seeing now, Mr. Reto, you say it's the 4th of November. When the Standing Committee on Appropriations is meeting. Right. We are 11, eh? How many members are we? A new configuration.
11
is on a Wednesday. The 4th is on a Wednesday. Yes, we are 11 members and we have got 5 alternates. Now, between me and Honorable Chani, we will have to see how we're going to split. That we show a presence also at the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Honorable Chani, you're the chairperson of that committee. Honorable Bloom?
Chairperson, let's be honest. You see, it's on paper 11 members. But not a single meeting where we ever 11 members. Let's be honest. Now, we are having two meetings. Even this meeting here today, we are waiting for members to come. I mean, it's on paper. You see, the 11th, I know that Mr. Mzizi will be in an intelligence meeting. Wednesday is an intelligence meeting, isn't it, Mr. Mzizi?
Yeah.
So that's why I've asked. Minus one member.
It's 10
now. Honorable Mansisi.
Yeah, Comrade Chair. I mean, the issue of finance, most in particular in the light of the bill, the act that has been passed. They are very crucial in Parliament. Mm. So, if we could find a way in which the meetings of finance and appropriation are held more or less on the same day, so that immediately after the adjournment of finance, we get into appropriation. Sometimes after the adjournment of appropriation, we get into finance. And some of the members who have been allocated finance right now, even those who are alternate, let's try to make sure that we keep a very tight finance house, you know, so that the committee becomes quite strong. Because if members don't come and we don't make efforts, we just leave it to the administrators,
I mean, in the past, Comrade Dennis knows, we used to fight for members. So we organize our own members. You go to your members and you make sure that you keep a tight quorum throughout. So let's try to nurture finance, because, I mean, we have been given a leverage by the Money Act in order to be able to grow and make even a very good contribution. Mm. It will be in the benefit of a lot of committees in Parliament. But if finance does not tick, if finance does not work properly, I don't think we'll be able to make a good contribution in all the other committees. Mm. Yeah, that's my proposal.
Mr. Rentu, my understanding is Wednesday is L day for finance.
Chair, I'm still waiting for the chief office to give us that now, because they've changed things. Because on what I've seen is that we need to decide between Tuesday and Wednesday which one sits between appropriation and finance. The schedule that I've seen with the Zama's office is that there is Tuesday, there is Wednesday. The finance needs to sit on Tuesday or appropriation either days. But we need to take a single day as finance, the appropriation needs another day.
So is it impossible that we say we start Wednesdays in the morning and we complete our business for finance and the preparation during the course of the day, even if we sit at night? Because the challenge is we're sharing members with other committees. And I was informed by the chairperson, Mushlangu, that this committee and the appropriation committee's members won't serve on other committees. But it seems to me reality is we're not in heaven yet.
Chairperson, no, I think that you and Mr. Chan must meet the chairperson of committees and Zama to say that Mr. Mbizi's proposal, let us have both committees on one day, so that we must attend both meetings.
Mm.
You see, that can be done if you and Mr. Chani meet even with the Chief Whip and with Zama to say that, no, this is our proposal. This is what we want to do.
If Mr. Chani is available after this meeting, we can go there and see if we can get some agreement. Are there any other inputs, Mr. Rentu? Is there a reason why they decided on Tuesdays for one of the committees?
It's not yet for my chair. I've seen it while I was in his office. So it's not yet out.
You must then go with, please. Honorable Chairman.
No, Chair, I'm not sure if we have resolved on the issue of the fourth, which was the major concern. But this other. Okay. No, I'm just saying. I think it's fine. Let's take the matter up with those doing the program and authorizing in terms of looking, because it might also not be practical on certain instances if we are except when it's joined. We refer to the sitting as joined, but in other instances, you might find that 3 hours that you'll allocate for one committee in a day, another 3 hours won't be sufficient based on the experience of the work that we are doing. But that is an issue. I think we should know the advices that we are getting from honorable members so that we engage with the relevant office. But with regard to the meeting of the fourth, this dilemma where we expect to split ourselves, I think the advice from Honorable is that we go to our members and speak to them to avail themselves so that at least 5 goes this side and 5 goes this side in terms of this process of the fourth. I think it will only be that particular date, and then hopefully we'll correct these meetings going forward, including where we do joint meetings with the NA. So that we, in the next, when we come back, we don't experience this kind of problem.
Thank you. I think there's agreement on that. It's going to be a challenge, but we will have to bite the bullet and get through this. Can we go forward? Thank you. Welcome to Mrs. Adhikari. Yeah. We're coming to that point. So after the meeting, we'll go to the Chief Whip's office and see what we can accomplish. Point, is there anything else, Mr. Rento, under point 5? That document you were referring to, of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, do we? All right, thank you. Thank you. That brings us to point 6, Green Paper on the National Strategic Planning. Now, I received a letter yesterday that was dated the 8th of September, but I only received it yesterday from the chairperson of the NCOP's office after I inquired several weeks ago and every week thereafter on a Friday about the process of the green paper in the NCOP. Now, it was ATC that the green paper is referred to the Select Committee on Finance as well as the Select Committee on Appropriation. That was on Wednesday, the 28th of October 2009, page 1196. In terms of that, we are pressed for time to deal with this document, which went through a process in the National Assembly for the past 4 or 5 weeks. I interacted with the chairperson of the ad hoc committee, Honorable Mufamadi, and made a proposal that we just link onto them in the ad hoc committee, and I wrote a letter to the Chief Whip asking about the process, but also making a proposal in terms of my discussion I had with Honorable Mufamadi. Now, the outcome is this document is now in front of the committee for the Select Committee for Finance and Appropriation. Yesterday, I interacted with the office of the Minister, Trevor Manuel, and I spoke to the head of ministry. I described to him the position we are now as the two committees in the NCOP, and that we must press for time to do our work. He requested me to draft a letter and to put it on in writing what we discussed over the phone, which I did. We are waiting a response from the minister's office. And I'm going to read the letter to you to put it on record. I received the instruction that the Select Committee on Finance and the Select Committee on Appropriations have to deal with the green paper. Enclosed ATC of 28 October 2009, page 1196, as well as a letter dated 8 September 2009, which I only received on the 29th of October 10:15 by hand. I hereby request you to brief the Select Committee on Finance and the Select Committee on Appropriations on the green paper. We shall request provinces also to work through the green paper and request them to be present when you brief the select committees mentioned, but also participate in the proceedings. Dates we look at and the proposal are Friday the 6th of November 2009 from 9:30 in the morning until 17 hours, or Monday the 9th of November, the same time, 9:30 to 17 hours, or Friday the 13th of November 2009, 09:30 to 17 hours. We are unfortunately pressed for time and have to see how we can get through this process. This is a letter we sent off yesterday. The head of ministry is meeting the minister this morning, and Mrs. Adhikari is also here, just received a note, who will also be liaising with the minister to assist us, to help us, because as I understand it, and you must please come in, Serena, this must be completed at the 15th of November. That's the answer I got yesterday over the telephone. So the date we propose is not the best, but we've got no choice. honorable members must please understand this. When we get the answer back from the minister when he's available, because they must also now look at his diary, we will put out a letter, an urgent letter to the members of both committees to sensitize them and to keep their diaries open. I put this to the committee. Sarina, is there anything you want to add?
Chairperson, no, thank you very much for the information. One thing that I disagree with is the linking of this committee with the NA's committee. You know, Chairperson, we must, and members, we must be very careful not to be swallowed in by the National Assembly. We are having our own identity as this committee, both committees, and we can't be swallowed in as if we are junior partners of a process. We must do our own thing and not, you see, there is joint, there will always be joint committees, meetings, joint committee meetings. But your identity and Comrade Chani's identity must also be seen as these are the chairpersons of finance and this is the chairperson of appropriation. I just want to make that point so that it mustn't be a question of, hey, we forgot about the NCOP. Now let's take them on board. They are junior partners. I just want to make that point.
Honorable Bloom, you're 100% correct. The reason I made the proposal, I was a bit disturbed that we are getting behind in terms of what we're supposed to do. When I heard they were going on hearings, inviting organizations, it was advertised, I saw it in the city press a few weeks ago on a Sunday, and then I thought to myself, now, where do we fit in? And that's the question I posed. Where does the NCOP fit in this whole process? Because it was always mentioned it's a process of parliament. And we are part of parliament, the two houses. So, yes, this is where we are now, you're 100% correct. What I also requested through Mr. Rentu is to liaise with the secretary of that ad hoc committee to see the inputs that was made by other organizations. What did they say on the green paper? I haven't seen it, but it's somewhere. Let me just get the background as well to make it easier for us to also deal with the green paper. Honorable Chani, Honorable Mokhoro?
Yeah, ma'am, it's just to humbly ask for an excuse there.
No, I know.
Honorable Mokhoro is on a long journey to Mafeking via Johannesburg. So please drive. The driving part on the road is a difficult one. Please drive safely. But thank you for assisting us to be present in this meeting. Thank you, Honorable Mokhoro.
My motorbike is standing outside.
Honorable members, that's all I can say to you now on the green paper. I'm waiting for a feedback via Sarina from the Minister's office. And then we'll notify you immediately. Can we step off this point?
Sorry, Chair. And the document, when are we going to get?
Well, as soon as we can get hold of it, Mr. Rentu will assist us. I also spoke to the Secretary, Bradley, of Mr. Mosomadi, because I don't know who's the Secretary of the Rock Committee. But let, Zarina, will you, is it possible to help you, please, that we get that background. Honourable members, thank you for that. That's the green paper. The last one is just what I want to mention, the oversight to the Northern Cape. We would have departed on the 3rd of November until the 6th to do the oversight of the municipalities in the Northern Cape. But because of the process of the MTBBS, we can't go on oversight now and see the work that we must complete before we leave here, maybe the 20th of November, that this oversight then stands over it for the beginning, the first quarter of 2010, also taking the advice from Honorable Bloom and other members that we do a strategic planning before we go on oversight. And then members can also put forward the other province you want to go and visit, because we are representing our provinces here. Anyone on point 7? Thank you, Honorable Members. That brings us to closure. For those who are going home, enjoy your weekend. For those who are staying, enjoy it as well. And some of us have got homework, like myself. So we'll sit together and Monday be back in the constituencies wherever.
So you are not going home?
I'm going home, but just to say hello and goodbye again. this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
No, I'm tired. I'm just. I know.